I'd like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. This is our 228 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. And Shaharons are waiting on the side.
Oh, they're waiting on the side? Oh, that's nice.
Yes, they are.
Always good to hear they're listening.
Well, they're participating. And yes. So they're hopeful that through the many generations of, you know, efforts of trying to illuminate the minds of, you know, our planetary consciousness, not just, you know, a subconscious drive. They want it to move out into our everyday knowledge, much like our technology moves out into our everyday knowledge, you know. Like the power in our cell phones today, our smartphones, would at one time be an entire floor of a building to take up that type of computational power. And they were solid state, you know what I mean? They were transistorized at the time, however, they were nowhere near as, you know, compact and small, but they were functionally capable of doing some of the computations as we do right now in our smartphones. It's just amazing to me, having, you know, walked along with technology and seeing it move. You know, I sometimes mention that my first dabble with technology was at the age of about 4 with a crystal set that I helped my dad put together. Actually, he kind of tricked me into thinking that I put it together. Yes. But all I really was doing was just following his directions, right? Put this there. Okay.
But that crystal set was an amazingly simple little device.
Yeah, but it was so amazing. It woke me up to unseen energies. Because I looked at it and I said, where does the radio signal come from? You know, and what is it? And is it the air? Like I can hear you, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it special air? Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, it's special air. And much of what we still are not fully aware of much of what propagates through space, you know, energies that propagate through space. And these energies, I was looking at an incident that, you know, happened to my friend just a little while back. And it was how he just collapsed, being very, very strong. Very well, you know, slim, trim athlete, jogs every day, no sign of ill health, and then he drops dead. Then I looked at it and it correlated it to a solar flare, which was Earth-directed, X-flare level. You know, I forgot what level it was, but right offhand, but it was X-flare. And that's the strongest level. And, of course, the strongest level that was ever recorded did not hit the Earth. But one that perhaps did was a while back. It melted some wires, like telegraph wires and things like that. But in the case of my friend, and it's correlating with time, I was amazed to think, where would it? Where are the warnings for this? Is it possible, you know, like energies that propagate through space, like much like a radio wave, but having the ability to knock somebody dead. And we know that, you know, we've seen, you know, birds just fall out of the sky, just come falling out of the sky dead. Dolphins, the entire herd of dolphins just die, wash up, a whole bunch of them wash up. Others get confused and just beach themselves. What's causing these things? Well, I was reminded of a warning because it had to do with the end days, the days in which are troubling our planet right now. And what Jesus Christ was, he was basically pinned in a corner, actually being just drilled with these questions, what's going to be like? And he began to relate them. And one of the areas it reminded me of was in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, and right around the 25th, 26th verse, there's an indicator that says that, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That's an interesting word, perplexity. In other words, not understanding. What's a good definition of perplexity, Curtis?
Confusion.
Yeah, just not understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did this perfectly healthy individual just basically drop dead? And, you know, they can do, you know, there are various theories of how that could happen. But, you know, when that happens, we wonder. It's a very healthy individual. But it goes on to talk about how people could die. You know, you have these indicators in the sun, moon, stars, which have been going on. And we've got interesting weather patterns. You said it's going to snow again, Curtis?
Is it going to, well, it was in the forecast, but now I say it's not in the forecast. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And there were some recent snows that are like weird, right? And also very climates that are not timed right. And I'm here in Hawaii getting some strange heavy rains that we haven't seen for a long time. But these weather patterns, sea wave patterns, and then it goes on, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. From where? The sun, moon, and the stars, along with the distress of nations. These things are all coming on the earth. But what are these things are coming upon the earth? I used to always wonder, you know, they always had problems in, you know, wars and, you know, troubled nations. We went through two great wars, one and two. And then, you know, were people dropping dead? You know, not in the same way. I mean, you know, people were dying, but they were dying because of war. This is something that is happening where you have a solar activity that is strange. The sun is not in its normal 11.5-year sunspot cycles. We have seen the celestials work in their master, these power controllers that were basically almost swimming in the corona of the sun, adjusting the sun so that it wouldn't be too strong and really overwhelm our planet. But it still occasionally does fire out a flare because our sunspots are appearing, which are electromagnetic storms in its more simple description. But more dynamic, there are other energies that are in the corona of the sun that we don't fully understand, energies that generate different irradiated frequencies, some of which can affect our bodies. This is men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Well, these ideas of the powers of the heavens shall be shaken has to do with these great oscillations that are going on, because we have long cycle oscillations, which you can talk about taking thousands upon thousands of years, and then you can move these oscillations down to those in which in millionths of a second, billionths of a second, one oscillation can take place. So you start moving into what was that Nikola Tesla gave a frequency. What was that vibrational frequency that he was talking about?
You mean to create sunlight, or?
Well, no, to hold matter together. Well, create sunlight on so many, you said something about that a while back.
Oh, are you talking about the 500 trillion vibrations?
Yeah, the 500 trillion vibrations, extremely high in frequency. So we have vibration, everything is vibratory, essentially oscillatory. So the sequencings of these things can interact with each other. Have you ever made overtones? Interesting in additive and subtractive overtones and undertones in mixing of vibrations. Very interesting. These come into interesting patterns, some of which can affect us and apparently kill us, which has recently happened for her. Of course, this is something that is kind of way out there in terms of medical science, so it would be like, really, let's look at it, looks something more mechanical, like, something else stop his heart, like a clogged artery. But anyway, looking at these things which are coming, but an interesting aspect is then they will see the Son of Man. Son of Man actually means the Creator Son, Christ Michael, Jesus, Joshua ben Joseph, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, who became a human being, who literally was absolutely human, and coming in the clouds with power and great glory. This coming in the clouds of power and great glory has a lot to do with his entourage, you might say. And it says, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. The redemption has everything to do with what the celestials had for me and the education in which I went to get, actually, because the challenge for me was to really have God prove himself in one level or another, or send an emissary to bring that reality into my life. And lo and behold, it was taken up, and went through so many different levels of experience and education, and then bring back the knowledge that there was a book on planet Earth that helped to explain much of the things that were going on with us and with the celestial environment, all because of this redemptive process, how the planet actually was basically, could be, if without us on it, it would be a wild planet that could be developed in many different ways in life form. But once we, the human race, became, and more importantly, the very Creator Son who installed true civilization and hierarchy into the universe, as well as bringing much of these vibrations, which was called, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the idea of Word having to do with vibrations that are put together in a manner which is specific and does address knowledge in a way that it can be communicated, and communicating to something that is so very fundamental that we don't even understand. Now, recently, there has been more theory going back into this dark matter or this what was once deemed absolutely foolish, this ethereal or ether, while actually bringing reality out of a neutral, black, dark matter. But actually it is matter which hasn't fully been instructed yet. Vibratory, to bring different levels of enlightenment to the world in life form, in capacity of intelligence and understanding of much of what Creator has in store for us. We're created for a very special, a divine purpose, which is actually to become, you might say, duplicates of the Son of Man. You know, having a divine nature, and this divine nature being installed in us through the divinity fragment, the divinity, the fractal of God, or the thought adjuster, bringing an arrangement between ourselves and divinity across the plane of our soul, and to develop an eternal soul for the purpose of elevating ourselves as truly divine children of God, you know, and with a very high purpose that just continually evolves, in a sense, in our discoveries and our ability to move from one level to another. I mean, just think about working with our technologies right now. I was just amazed in technologies that are applied, and even the technologies that are being applied right now for, you know, higher enlightenment right now, which would be these telepathic technologies. And I was actually shown the visions that I receive are a way of transmission that we're all given capability for, but we haven't basically listened to. So, and in this discussion today has a lot to do with this newer enlightenment that must take place. Our planet will remain in confusion. Perplexity would be that word. What we need to do is not just discover the whole heaven, you know, the great in the cloud of with power, great glory. I mean, you know, this is absolutely just phenomenal to see some of these ships. You know, these ships that are you're pointing out, Curtis, and the reality on the moon, the V-wing craft over there, and having the exact same structural design as what Riley had drawn out, because he was able to see it from the top view. I saw it from the bottom view. Huge V-wing craft.
Yeah, the exact same design.
Exact same design. That is something that, you know, you just don't pull out of, you know, nothing. You do actually get it from experience. So he did see it, much like I did, except, you know, it's already been described all by others that there are holes under it, because others have seen it, and that to be about a mile or so long wingspan. And these things are part of this with power and great glory concept of the Son of Man coming. So he'll have a lot of entourage in this time, but these events are starting to happen, and we should understand how to key in and harmonize with them rather than being, you know, scared off by some of these things because you don't understand. And this is where I would like the Sharuns to bring more enlightenment into the discussion of these light in things. And what What's interesting was Kathleen had showed us pictures of columns of light or luminescent light that appeared as that, but had some indications that they were seraphic guardians, these angels, and they had appearance that like that. And she's recently sent me other pictures, which the Shaduns would like to explain.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah,
So,
I have that here in front of me. I was going to read that, and I'm glad you
yes,
brought it up.
go ahead and read it.
All right. Well, this is from April 21st. Kathleen writes, "Hi, Curtis and Michael. If you won't mind, I'd like you to look at this photo and let me know what your opinion on it is, and if the Chaperones would like to comment on what it is I've captured, I appreciate that as well." Here's the raw photo, and she shows what looks like could be just a round sphere in the sky, a little kind of unusual looking clouds. And then here's the one that I use, the auto enhance function. And now the sphere looks like still this exact same size sphere, except around the circumference, or the inside of the circumference, is like a reddish pink line. And then she closes this little comment with three lines. She said, "I took this photo on 8 January 2012. Now, I don't know whether she means 8 2012 or 2014. At 12:02, this was 3 days before I took the angels in the clouds photo." That's those angels in the clouds photo are still on the listen page. You can see those. And then she ends by saying, "I took many photos of the moon right after this, but nothing like this showed." Okay. All right. It looks like we're recording again. For some reason, we had a technical problem. It just stopped recording, and I can't see my voice anymore, but I can see it on the tape. So Kathleen's letter ended by this last sentence that I didn't finish. "I took many photos of the moon right after this, but nothing like this shows up in them. Thanks. Hope all is well with you. Love and joy, Kathleen." That's funny when she says nothing shows up in them, and that's when it stopped recording. Let's see. Are you there, Michael?
This is Theodore Sharon.
Oh, hello, Sharon. All right, well, Sharon, we had some technical problems, but I can see your voice and my voice in the recording, and things look like it's fine. Maybe you can tell me what happened.
A technical glitch.
A technical glitch.
Yes. You must understand that we have the capability of moving into your technologies, but sometimes we do have to and do want to gain your attention. This might be considered an exclamation point. In a sense, pay attention to what is. The pictures that were taken are of an entirely new energetic that is going on. Although similar to an aurora effect, it is much more similar to the effect in which we do in our form of worship. Energetic, spiritual energies that are really able to be observed. My host right now, Michael, experienced us in worship, as he once and realized did agree to help us. In that help with us, and we rejoiced. We gained such joy in this that we did worship. In this worship, we do often emanate spiritually visible energies. Such are similar energies that are approaching and intermingling in to your planetary environment. These should be welcomed, but as my host Michael did say earlier, that sometimes energies that do impinge upon your planet of celestial origin can have dangerous effects. Such dangerous effects can stop the hearts of men beating. Sympathetically dangerous effects. Now, moving again back to that which you have purposefully been given, recorded pictures able to be shared for this purpose of discussion. There will be an increasing number of these inflows. Must also remember that the initial inflow of a high energy spiritual source, the third source, often referred to as the Holy Spirit, did give forth visible energetic light. This energetic light brought forth great enlightenment and attunement. Most importantly, attunement. This resonance will give each person the ability to commune with us as well, but more importantly, with the entire universal spiritual energetic complex. This is such an important installation because it will send your planet to a higher level of enlightenment and luminescence. Greater light, greater life. This higher life will give greater understanding and will help to alleviate the confusion that is upon your planet through traditions that men have inputted, placed within some of your philosophic as well as religious and also scientific realms of understanding. It's important for you to understand these things because they will bring forth a higher attunement, but they can be rejected. You can reject this inflow of spiritual energy that can be observed. If you see them, you will receive a feeling of higher realm energies, renewing your physical bodies, bringing them to a higher Morancho alignment, but not becoming Morancho. In other words, you're becoming supercharged. Super meaning is elevated, and of course charge being imputed with extra energetic. This implantation will give much more than even that which was initially implanted. All of this is all part of a greater revelation. When you look upon these pictures, take your time and understand that you, by it, have gained greater insight into the methods by which your spiritual uplift will be taking place. Along with it, again, you will have greater inspiration and knowledge. You will be given greater insight. The mindful plane in which you understand right now as thought process will, even that shall be illuminated for an even higher understanding of your place within your celestial ascension process. In other words, you will no longer find yourselves regarded as being only Earth citizens. The entire process is to elevate the planet into a full embodiment of life in and of the rest of the universe. No longer will you be cut off by your own structured concepts. So these things will flow into your planet and thereby liberating as many as are going to be attuned to it as possible. And there will be a progressive change forward. But in the meantime, there will be confusion because of its unraveling and the tensions that are building up. And it will not always bring comfort. There are different ways in which people will react to these energies. I, Tiratadaktiksha, bid you farewell. Understand, we are here to help you progress higher in your walk toward divinity attainment. And so we do the same. Well, I think that is...
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in any case, it seems like there's some kind of higher than what's visible. Let me explain to you that, you know, when I was seated in front of them, 12 of them, they didn't really lecture me. I lectured them in terms of why you can't blame me for humanity's shortcomings, for the man's inhumanity to man. Because as I walked through this spiral entrance, like a gigantic nautilus shell, you know, just that you could walk within, and it had this beautiful iridescence about it, like abalone shell, beautiful. And you walk, it had plain scenes playing along it that showed, you know, war and the Jews being interned and thrown in. It's terrible stuff. Anyway, and so of course, you know, I had that all set in my mind. But these are the failings of the uplift, because many times some groups will think that they are to become the superior race, and the others are just trash, and it's all kinds of confusion. But the progress toward this was to the point where, you know, I just said, that's not my problem. Well, they were very sad because it really was their problem. And then I realized that they needed some voice or somebody to just assist them in just getting some of these ideas out into the open, understanding technology, understanding where it will go to a point where having higher level realms of, you know, we're headed toward the evolution of technology, which will try to interface us with our own technology at a level which is like becoming half machine, or to many levels machine, in terms not only the mechanics of it, but in terms of our actual mind or interface. And this is a dangerous part in which they kind of reminds me of. And they want you and us to understand that they have higher technologies that go far beyond that. Technologies that are elevated at a level which is perhaps so far beyond what we could dream of that we can only give them spiritual titles. So, you know, they actually are technologies. But they are something that we will need to adopt, but are only going to adopt when we take the proper steps and allow to adopt other levels of technology. And that's an amazing thing. And when I stood there and gave them my agreement, and I realized that they needed the help, and I said, sure. And it is at that point where I began to see the radiance of this purple, violet, blue light that seemed to come up like smoke right out of the tops of their heads from their front, and it began there, and it seemed to progress to higher and higher levels. In other words, this the smoke of that presence, that energy, just began to just look like it just began to fill the room until it was just swirling about in this giant circle, like smoke and waves of energy. And I was just filled with them as they were singing, and basically very simple. Ura, 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 ura. And they just were singing very simple like that. And all this energy was moving out in concert with their worship. And that is probably he was mentioning that was very similar in energetics to what was in the photo of Kathleen.
Yeah, Sharon said, when you look upon these pictures, and then he speaks of the spiritual energy that can be observed.
Mm-hmm.
So is that sphere, is that the spiritual energy?
Yes. So at one time it was contained behind a veil in the holies of holies, which held the Ark of the Covenant, and was visible about it. You know, when sometimes the priest would have it, and you know, this energetic could do bad things too. You know, it could cause people to get really sick. You know,
you mean energetic light?
Yeah, the Ark itself, the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh,
you know, yeah, but around it, and as the high priest would interact with it, the energies would come and give forth something called the glory of God, which is visible emanation. And so why they used incense to try to duplicate its activity, like a smoke, you know. And till this day, incense is, you know, still used very much in spiritual activity in different world churches, because these asuruns were always about the task, trying to get people into this right activity and moving us from the animal nature higher. And we many times and just get mixed up and, you know, just try to duplicate what we see, not realizing that's not the point. The point is resonance to an appreciation of that glorification, that morancho energy. Yeah, that morancho energy, I guess you might say, is that visible thing. We can say it's similar to you know, we what we know of as, you know, activity of highly charged energetics or particles, like particles like neon lights and stuff, and, you know, energetics like the aurora. These are have everything to do with charged particles. But now Morancho energy may be, in fact, impinging itself upon the particles of energy that cause it to luminesce and have, but in a way that sort of looks smoky. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Were a lot of things on the up in that architectural world, were a lot of them, were like the walls mostly luminescent, and you said everything was clean and smooth, but was it also vibrant with colors or color?
No, it was not really colorful. The most colorful thing and most beautiful thing were those plant, Morancho plants that, that, you know, a good description as any is the bush that burned and was not consumed, like the burning bush. That was the most beautiful, colorful thing they'd have. Oh, I could stand there and watch it for, give me the whole day, and I wouldn't get tired of watching it. Because while it was doing it, it appreciated, you know, this living energy appreciates our interaction with it. It appreciates our interaction with it to the point which it enlivens not only us, but itself. So this is so wonderful to watch this type of living sculpture. Yeah, it's beyond our art, much far further beyond it. Yet it is a demonstration of material that we don't really have here, but I guess will be introduced and is part of that introduction. So this Morancho energy is being imputed. It's not the same as the Holy Spirit, apparently, because the Holy Spirit will probably have to leave, take its departure, take her departure, as if the universe creator Son does arrive here on planet, then there will be that vacating of planet Earth. But it won't necessarily have a point where it will become, you know, like we'll be like lost without, you know, that we'll actually have a much greater connection to the heavenly hosts. So anyway, that's what pretty much where what's happening. And our timetable tells us that we're getting close to a time where they've got to intercede, because we're already approaching a point where we want to inject nanotechnologies into our bodies and change our way in which we operate and try to supercharge ourselves, but not in the way they have made it, that we were initially created as life forms to absorb this higher the stages. We've come to a point where we want to do it, but it will be on such a low level. And I'm reminded of the stories in which were given to Riley Martin from Tan about certain cultures that did approach life from that level, and it became hellish. They became these monstrous demons. And if you can get the book Coming of Tan, or you already do, go review that area, because it talks about how technologies already were worked on in other living races. While Lucifer's rebellion was happening, they simply went on their own track. This is where they must intercede. Because if human race takes this, level of becoming part of a artificial machinery of our own design, then we are lost, because the divine fractal would not have a place in us.
Could you explain that again?
Okay, the divine, you know, where the talk was given the knowledge of the divinity fractal,
yeah.
God himself, the father fragment, given to a child, usually about around age 5. And from there, guidance comes off and the universe is holographic, everywhere all at once, unified at once. Governance takes place as a sentient being begins to relate to it through the awareness of our soul and then explore our destiny towards just living, but in a way that aligns ourselves toward this. Now, if it is interrupted, that domain in which the divinity fractal takes home actually can be rooted out. Do you know how the divinity fractal's voice can be smothered or, you know, muffled out or gagged through various psychological as well as spiritual ceremonies that cause a person to overcome the divine voice, because there are certain things that the divine voice will call out, and we know that many times these things are abhorrent to us, right? And they're abhorrent to us because many times the actions that are abhorrent are prevented or given that tone because the Father's voice or the Father's way in relating that voice gives us this idea of being yuck, abhorrent, I don't want to do that, it's terrible. So people run these ceremonies to do these practices to overrule the divine voice in us, and they purposefully have to smother that voice to a point in which they no longer can align to it. They don't have to listen to it. And these secret societies push people into these types of ceremonies. And as a result, you get, in warriors, you get killers who will kill innocents without any thought. Why and how they become that way is to overrule that divinity voice. And they go through things like, you must shoot a child of innocence. And they go and they, you know, says, this is orders. If we can do that, I'll get the rewards that the commander promised me. And many times the rewards are fairly large. But these periods like of engagement where people do these things, it could be in that. And the warriors, it could be other ways they could become deaf to the leading of divinity. But another one is getting actual technology implanted into our human body structure that will cause us no longer to be human with the divine destiny. In other words, we'll be human with a machine destiny, and that will not interface with the method which the universe in its origin form and its destiny form could not be attained. So don't interface with technology. That's what they call this mark of the beast concept. Well, it is a technology, but you don't know where. It's plain that, what was that? No, well, anyway, the plane that was filled of these technology, disguising technologies, that they had knowledge of how to put together extremely small technologies, implantable, actually to be able to be circulated in our system, our bodies, I'm aware right now of companies that are functioning right now with at the molecular level. Called this one technology is called spintronics. Spin right, spin left, don't spin at all. Okay, so you spin right, you get a yes bit, and you spin the other way, you get the other bit. You don't spin at all, you're there or you're not there. So you can actually have four states, but these are at the molecular level. From there, you can create machines, much like how we have our micro technologies built on silicon, except much, much smaller and implantable into our actual human structure. And they're being worked on right now. And this plane that disappeared, I'm not sure where it went, how it went, and how come it's not around. But the people on it have a lot to do with the potential of actually creating that type of designer technology, or very much being able to change our human structure beyond genetics, implanted foreign technologies. And an interesting part of some of the levels in which technologies were implanted was some in which were able to be interfaced with our own nervous system and have successfully been able to be implanted at a level in which our body did not reject it, but instead embraced it, actually had cellular growth around these electrodes that allowed for interface to these technologies, which are right now, in comparison to what is out there right now being worked on, very primitive technologies, but we already see them implanted. So the direction of the human race is at that tipping point where it could tip the absolute wrong way. So the need for intervention to stop this goes beyond our ability to blow ourselves up right now. To blow ourselves up in terms of nuclear weapons is actually a smaller problem than this bigger problem of actually creating non-human humans.
And who's creating non-human humans?
Our scientists.
Oh, okay. You mean the robots that they want to...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I thought you were referring to Sharon.
And, they're creating. They have the ability to allow us to ascend, and they're actually telling us that we will be given higher resonance and gifts to cause us to move above even our organic level, because we cannot live forever in our organic biologic bodies. We have to take on a new level. So I've got to go pretty soon. So. Are we able to finish up right now?
All right. Well, we could finish up, and I mean, we could just say aloha and come back.
Yeah.
Next week. Is that good?
It's good. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Aloha, Michael. See you.
Okay.
Bye.